Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close.
How have I been? So I broke up with my boyfriend after having a bit of a severe breakdown. And he's just an asshole, really. He's like a secret asshole. Thought he was a lovely man, but
he's not very nice.
That's the trap that you get in sometimes.
Really is. So basically he just wants to party and stuff. And I was like, can you not have girls around your house till 4 a.m? And he was like, I'll do what I want. And I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
So, yeah. We're in our 30s now. We're not 21.
I was like, yeah, I used to like doing that when I was 15.
Right.
Fucking loser. So...
no stress.
Yeah. And the relief I now feel is like testament to... the fact that it was the right decision. And everyone's like, the over resounding thing that everyone's come out with is, you deserve better. And like, that's nothing, I didn't even think that myself, but like, you know, when someone, you know, when other people continuously say it to you, you're like, shit, maybe I did deserve better.
Yeah, I had that before too with a boyfriend, and it was like, yeah, he wasn't very nice to you. And it was like, were people saying that to me during and I just wasn't listening? Or
I don't think they were. Like, no. I think when you're going out with someone, everyone's really nice to you and they're like, oh, okay, well, you guys work it out. Like, they kind of stay out of your business. But
right.
But when you're like, oh, this happened and I'm really fucked off, they're like, yeah, you should be. So
yeah.
And I think as well, we've been talking about this a lot today with my pals, like, because I'm 32, I've got this belief that if I don't have a husband and a child by the time I'm 40, I'm a waste of space on this earth. And that is simply not the case. But like, it's just like the patriarchy, society, my parents, like everybody, just, and Disney films, like, just makes you think that that's the case. And it fucks
all,
up your
all
head.
Women have to deal with that, dealing with,
oh my god,
just undoing that thought.
Yes. And it's my life's mission now to undo that thought.
Right.
Because it's so damaging, and it's been damaging my life for like 20 years.
Not to say that like women who do choose that life, it's not bad at all, but for women who feel
enough
too much stress or pressure, exactly.
Yeah.
That's when it's not very healthy or good.
No, and it made me stay in that relationship a lot longer than I should have, because I was like, fuck, if I break up with him, that's it, I fucked it up again. And it's like, that's not a good reason to stay with someone. Like,
right.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of working on the moment on, like, the way the patriarchy has fucked my brain into thinking that I need to be a wife and mother to be of value. And, yeah, because it makes me make shit, stupid decisions when it comes to men.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you'll go out with me. You'll do. Like, that's basically been my attitude for, like, the past 10 years. And it's like, no. That is not the way to choose.
Right.
That's my week.
You know what song I'm thinking of? That Mary J. Blige song, No More
what
Drama
one?
In My Life.
Oh my god, it's so, I'm gonna listen to that tonight now. It's so good. Obviously, I'm at my mum's house, so I've got a Prosecco with a strawberry in it.
Lovely.
Classic.
Of course.
Yeah. How's California? Is it on fire still? And
there's still a lot of smoke in the air. We're still a dumpster fire country, so
okay. But you did see Lizzo last week at a yoga pants conference.
Yeah, I can't talk about that though. I'm not
oh
supposed
we'll
to.
Cut that out. Okay, we'll just cut that right out.
A yoga pants conference. I'll just bleep out the name.
Yeah perfect. Are you when's voting? Is it in October you have to vote?
Voting day is officially November. Oh, I'm googling it because I should know.
But Rachel, people chain themselves to railings so you could do this. Come on.
It is officially November 3rd. I knew it was like the second or third or whatever.
You've got ages.
But everyone now is, because of COVID, everyone's trying to get their ballots in early and mailing. And there's this whole thing with the post office and everything. It's so unnecessarily stressful if you care about the outcome of this country.
Yeah. And it's just like Trump, obviously, just trying to kick up fuss so that people are distracted from the fact that he's a complete and utter pipe. He's just like, take the attention elsewhere, I feel.
Yep, exactly.
I feel like we should mention Breonna Taylor and what horseshit that is.
Yes.
I don't know if they can appeal or anything like that, but
there's protests going on again, like even more. I might go to one this weekend for it. Yeah, it's just since that happened, it just shows what a dumpster fire certain parts of our country are in. And
Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, which...
Oh my gosh, did you see the video of Trump at her funeral?
No, why is he even there?
Well, he has to be there. He's the president, but...
Fucking cunt is what he is.
People start booing him. People start booing him while he's... And he has to stand there and take it, and then they start chanting, vote him out, vote him out.
Yes!
I know, and it's like, this video can't be faked. He's standing there dealing with it when he usually tries to avoid that stuff. Well, he has a mask on, so... Oh. Yeah.
I hope there's a single tear running down the eyes that you can see. His piggy little eyes.
Daryl!
I hate that guy. He is such a scrotum.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank God. That's exactly what she would have wanted to happen.
Yeah.
It's what Ruth would have wanted.
Right. RGB, RIP.
Yeah. I can't think of any more R something somethings. She's the best. All right, so our theme this week is... monumental, and I thought that I haven't fucked it up, I've done it right, but I thought it meant don't worry, I thought it meant that we have to do ones that like change the law or whatever, but then when when I read the description, it said no, it's like monuments, so mine is actually both.
Okay, cool.
Which is a bit of a coinky dink. So who's going first this week?
I think
it's me.
Me?
You? Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Do you want to play Rock,
Paper,
Scissors?
We have to start marking that down. Okay. You go first.
Okay, I'll just go first. This doesn't seem like a democracy, but fine. All right. So, I've actually got two computers on the go today, so...
Oh, fancy.
And no glasses. So I can see fuck all. My story is kind of oldie-timey, which is fun.
Ooh, so is mine.
Ooh. Okay, so this is the killing of Mary Ashford.
Okay.
Right. There are these things in England, Wales and Scotland, so in Britain, called murder stones. So basically, they're like engraved monuments, much like a gravestone. Okay. And they're usually found on the site of a murder where a crime caused outrage in the community. They're relatively common in England, but Wales has only got a few and there's only one in Scotland. And they're found exclusively in the countryside and there's none in cities. Probably because people are just busybodies. less to do. So they were most popular during the 1800s and they served to honour the life of the victim and to warn people of the moral consequences of murder, either at the hands of the courts or by God. The stones were commissioned by religious leaders, landowners and justices of the peace. So the stone which commemorates the oldest crime is in Ardwell, Scotland, and it just reads murder. So it's a bit less imaginative.
So wait, can you do that in a Scottish accent?
Murder. You do it now.
Murder.
Murder. Oh, fuck me. That's the Scottish listeners gone.
That's awful.
That's the Scottish listeners gone, as well as the Kennedy supporters, the Welsh... Who else are we pissed off? Anyone that likes...
I love the Scottish accent, though.
Oh my God, it's amazing. So, the one in Scotland just reads murder, and it was made to remind the townspeople of a murder of the Lord of the Castle Clanyard by a member of Clan MacCulloch in 1551, although historians believe that it was also placed there in the 19th century. So it was just like the fashion. So there's also a stone at Cadoxton in Wales, and that was placed there in 1823, and it's rumoured to face the house of the main suspect of the crime, who was never brought to justice. The stone marks the grave of Margaret Williams, a 26-year-old woman who was working for a farming family in Cadoxton. Her battered and bruised body was found in the marshy land between the village and the River Neath in July 1822. She was pregnant. Again, her murderer has never been found. The stone reads in part, "Although the savage murderer escaped for a season the detection of man, yet God hath set his mark upon him either for time or eternity, and the cry of blood will assuredly pursue him to certain and terrible righteous judgment." So very, very preachy. Though this is during like the Victorian era, so it doesn't surprise me that they're preachy.
I mean, that's all they had in those days. It's not like they could add them to the unsolved crimes list.
No, they were just shaming you on a stone. This is my murder that I'm doing, and it's got, it's basically, she has a murder stone, and it's one of the most interesting and misogynistic inscriptions.
Oh.
That's why I picked it, because it's just outrageous. Okay. But it lays in Trinity Church in Sutton Coldfield, which is an English town just outside of Birmingham. Now, you know Ruth, my friend Ruth?
Yes.
That we went to Vegas with?
Yes.
She is from Sutton Coldfield. So she's very excited, very excited about this week. And she was like, it's the royal borough of Sutton Coldfield, I think you'll find.
Oh, and fancy.
And when people say she's from Birmingham, she gets really pissed off. But she does have a slight Birmingham accent, which I really love. So the lady in question is a lady called Mary Ashton. She was a 20-year-old woman who lived in the royal borough of Sutton Coldfield in 1817. I think there's something about Henry VIII history there or something. That's why it's the royal borough.
What, did he have like an illegitimate child there or something?
Oh, probably. He was fucking everything that walked, wasn't he? Big fat bloke. Just sowing his royal seed. Spreading his bastard children around Birmingham. So Mary worked as a general servant and housekeeper to her uncle, a farmer at Langley Heath, between Birmingham and Sutton Coldfield. She had been attending a party on the evening of the 26th of May at the Three Tuns, a pub more commonly known as the Tyburn House. The party was an annual club feast and dance and was a busy, popular event. She met her friend Hannah Cox, left her work clothes at Hannah's house and got changed into her party clothes, and they both arrived at the dance at 7:30 p.m. So this shit has been going on since 1817. Go round your mates, get your glad rags on, piss off to the party.
Have a few drinks, pre-game.
Yeah, have a few, my mum calls it a dressing drink, which I think is charming.
So cute.
When she visits me in Bristol, she's like, do you want to come to our hotel room for a dressing drink?
Oh.
And I'm like, that's such a cute way to get smashed up before you go out.
Yeah.
For cheap.
Pre-game.
Pre-game. Yeah, that's such an American saying. We sometimes say pre-drink, but we definitely don't say pre-game. So they're at the dance, and she met a local landowner's son, Abraham Thornton. Thornton was about 24 years old and heavy set. Descriptions of him range from well-looking young fellow to of repulsive appearance. But I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder. One man's Brad Pitt is another man's Trump?
Oh no.
No, no one would fancy him. Yeah, so apparently when he saw Mary, he asked another male attendee who she was. And that partygoer alleged that upon being told who she was, Abraham stated that he had been intimate with her sister three times.
Ugh. Three times?
I've done it with her three times. Fucking loser. Oh, and he said, I would also be intimate with Mary Ashford, or he would die for it. So I guess that just means he really wants to shag her.
So he was just desperate. He was just a desperate dude.
He's just like a dog with two dicks, basically.
Yeah.
So Abraham later denied this statement, and spoiler, he denied it at the trial. Eyewitnesses report that they were seen dancing together for most of the night. So when they left the dance, Mary told her friend Hannah that she would spend the night at her grandparents' house and left with Abraham. And people said that this was basically so she could sneak off with him without scandal, sort of thing.
Sure, sure.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So Mary returned to Hannah's house at 4 a.m., dirty stop out, changed her dancing clothes for her working clothes, collected some parcels, and then set out for her uncle's home. About 2 hours later, a labourer found a bundle of clothing and parcels on the path leading to Mary's home. Her body was found submerged in a water-filled pit by Penn's Lane, and the alarm was raised. An autopsy showed that she died from drowning and had been raped shortly before her death.
Wow.
Yeah. So in between those 2 hours, this happened, so not long. And yeah. It was generally believed that Abraham, after being rejected for sex by Mary after their evening together, had hidden and waited for her to leave Hannah's house and raped her before throwing her into the pit to drown. Prior to this, Mary had sustained injuries, her arms were bruised, and there was blood present upon her, in air quotes, thighs and private parts, and upon the grass near the pit. The examination showed that shortly before her death, and this again is in quotes, some man had forcibly had carnal knowledge of the body, and that Mary had been a virgin before the incident. Thornton was examined, and his undergarments were stained with blood, and he admitted that he and Mary had sex the previous night, but by her own consent.
Mm.
So he was arrested and charged with murder. And at his trial, Abraham provided evidence that it was not possible for him to have killed Mary at the suggested time. So I couldn't really find like that much, because obviously it's a very old murder, but I'm just assuming he gave himself a respectable alibi.
Yeah.
Which, as we all know, like, alibis lie for you.
Right.
And it's not like they've got fucking CCTV or anything, so you're just taking people's word for it. And as a result, the jury found him not guilty of her alleged murder and alleged rape. Yep. Allowing him to walk free from the court.
I feel like the blood on the shirt or your clothes is a pretty good giveaway.
Mate, it's the absolute, like, she consented shit.
Yeah.
Like, that we still have today.
Yeah, I just watched Criminal. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Yeah, so it's fictional, isn't it? And
it's fictional, yeah.
It's like all around the country. So the English one had David Tennant in it in the first one. And that was really good.
It's really good. So the second season came out, and the episode with Kit Harington.
Oh, I'll watch that. I'll watch that on mute.
It's pretty much this story, though, and they give that argument of, like, if someone's saying that they were raped and then the other person saying that it was consensual, even if you have bruises or whatever, that doesn't prove that it was rape, because you could just say it was very passionate.
Yeah, it's the fucking rough sex offense. Although there's recently been some law passed in England that says that you basically can't use the rough sex defense. So for example, if somebody dies as a result of rough sex, they've brought in a thing to say, if it's like, I was strangling her and it went too far, it's like, it takes 4 minutes pretty much to strangle someone to death. Right. So to say that you were strangling them and you didn't realize that it was dangerous, like, that's just clearly not true.
Yeah, you would know after 20 seconds.
Yes.
4 minutes is a long time.
It takes a long time to strangle someone to death. So yeah, the rough sex defense is like being taken off the table as a defense for murder, which I think is amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's been a long time coming, let's be honest. Also, like, what percentage of people fucking love being strangled to the point where they're nearly dead?
I don't.
Maybe there's a huge underground thing I don't know about, but like, I would say that's quite a rare kink. Like,
watch, we're like the only two people.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, clutching our pearls.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like being strangled, and everyone else is like, really?
Yeah.
I don't like it. Even if you do like it, strangle yourself and have a wank. Don't get a man to do it. It's not... They can't be trusted to fucking hang a shelf. Like,
yeah.
No. Let alone, like, with my ability to breathe. So, okay, so he has walked free from court. Public response to the acquittal was that of outrage, and a private appeal was brought against the verdict by Mary's brother, William Ashford. Abraham was taken to London, where he was tried at the King's Bench. When Abraham was called upon for his plea, this is so British, get ready for this, he responded, "Not guilty, and I am ready to defend the same with my body." Then he put on one pair of leather gauntlets and threw down the other pair for William Ashford to pick up and thus accept the challenge of a trial by combat.
Oh my gosh, hashtag drama.
I know. Who's got two pairs of leather gloves hanging around?
This guy does.
This guy does, because he's a fucking murderer. So this no glasses thing is really fucking me over. I just don't know where they are, and my glasses are see-through, which just doesn't help. think I'm being trendy, I'm just being impractical. So, yeah, basically, it's his right under the law, which meant that he could legally have killed William Ashford, or, if he defeated him, gone free. This was a medieval law that had never been repealed by Parliament.
Wow.
Yeah. So William Ashford argued that the evidence against Abraham Thornton was overwhelming and that he was thus ineligible to wage battle. But the court decided that the evidence against Thornton was not overwhelming and that a trial by battle was permissible under law. So it turned out, unfortunately, that William Ashford was a lot smaller than Abraham Thornton, so he declined the battle. So Thornton was a free man.
What? So even if you decline...
Yeah.
That means that you... That's, like, automatically you lose?
Yeah.
What?
It's a medieval law, man. Like... It's really unfair. Really unfair. They might as well just fucking fought with their dicks, like, as swords. Following this, the case swiftly meant that there was a change in the law. And in 1819, they banned such appeals and therefore a trial by battle. Because they were like, we can't have this again.
Yeah, nobody else is getting away with this.
I mean, loads of people in England, like old men and stuff, they get like parking tickets and then they're like, I want a trial by combat. And the judge is like, get out. Like, I'm not joking. That's been on the news so much.
Are you serious?
So many mental old men are like, I want a trial by combat. And they're like, that's not the law. £100 fine. Get out.
I've never heard that before.
Haven't you? Mate, I'll send you a link to a story. There's so many. It's unbelievable. It's the sort of thing my dad would do. It's ridiculous. So, what happened to Abraham Thornton after this debacle? He returned to Castle Bromwich, but found that the general dislike in which he was held was unbearable. So he booked a passage to New York by boat. But when his fellow passengers found out who he was, they insisted on his being put ashore. So... On the 30th of September 1818, Abraham Thornton sailed from Liverpool aboard the Shamrock to New York. In the United States, he worked as a bricklayer, he married and had children, and he died around 1860 in Baltimore. Ashford versus Thornton, 1818, is now a famous English law case that upheld the right of the defendant on a private appeal from acquittal for murder to trial by battle. Mary's murder case was the last time that election for trial by combat was allowed. Yeah, she's famous for that. And then Mary's murder stone reads the following, which is the misogynistic part, which is going to boil your piss.
Okay.
As a warning to female virtue and a humble monument to female chastity, this stone marks the grave of Mary Ashford, who in the 20th year of her age, having incautiously repaired to a scene of amusement without proper protection, was brutally violated and murdered on the 27th of May, 1817.
It's all your fault, Mary.
You slag. It's basically... It might as well have just said, Mary Ashford, slag. Like, yeah, it's fucking outrageous. It has like two sentences about how it's her fault. And then it's like, anyway, she died. So
I think that we should petition to change it.
We should. If I hadn't just broken up with someone and it was COVID and stuff, I would be well up for that rage. But I'm just really swamped right now.
Get Ruth to do it. She's from there.
Yeah. No, she probably has a bit of clout. In Sutton Coldfield. But yes, that's the story of the murder stones and Mary Ashford.
Wow, that's a crazy story and also infuriating and...
Yeah, it's made me want to go and see the stones. Never heard of that before. Yeah, they're quite cool, if not a bit preachy.
I was thinking, like, they wouldn't have them in the cities because there'd be too many of them.
Yeah, Jesus, you're gonna move.
Way more killings and...
Right. Yeah.
Couldn't drive anywhere.
Also, I don't know if I've said this before on a previous podcast, let me know, because I've been taking a lot of Valium recently. But basically, my friend Ada, she does illustration, and she's doing she might be doing a mural to commemorate the victims of Jack the Ripper.
Oh,
in Whitechapel.
Wow.
Have I told you that before?
No.
You would remember. I've got such a shit memory, but you would remember if I'd said that.
I would remember.
Yeah.
You have talked about Ada before, about she had to make some diagram or something, but not this. This is really cool.
Yeah. So I'll let you know if that goes ahead, because that's just so exciting.
Yeah, we'll post it for sure.
And it's in conjunction with a woman who wrote, I can't remember her name now, but she wrote this amazing book called The Five. and it's about it's like basically a feminist book, and it's about the victims of Jack the Ripper, but it's literally how they got from their life before they were murdered to the point where they were murdered, because all of them, when they were murdered in Whitechapel around 1888 was a really shitty place to be. It was like a slum. And she basically writes about, because everyone is just like, oh, when they were murdered, they were prostitutes, and he murdered prostitutes. And
the end, amen.
Yeah, and that's simply not true. Loads of them came from really well-off backgrounds, and it just, their lives just spiraled out of control, because at that point in England, there was no NHS, there was no support. If you didn't have a husband, you were just fucked. So, yeah, it basically details all five of the victims' lives up to the point that they were murdered, and then it just immediately stops there. It's like, and then that night, they were seen then, and they were seen then, and then they found them murdered, and that was it. And she doesn't go into, like, any kind of
salacious details.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's very respectful. So, yeah, I'd definitely recommend that. I listened to the audiobook, and it was really good.
Cool. So,
I think she's called Hayley, the lady. But anyway, yeah, it's a really good read. I enjoyed it. I got through it in, like, 3 hours or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I couldn't stop listening to it.
Cool. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. So, what's happening? Are you looking at the dog?
Yeah.
I can hear a little dog scratching.
Clacking around.
Yeah. Clickety click clack.
Go lay down. Bed.
Does he know bed?
Yeah. he's being like a little teenager these days.
Like, I feel like a lot of dogs in lockdown have got really shitty. Like Arlo fucking growled at Carly yesterday when she tried to take a plate off him. I was like, this is unacceptable behavior.
Yeah, like, he'll stare at us and growl at us if we don't play with him when he wants.
They are getting out of hand, mate. They've been absolutely spoiled from lockdown.
Lately, we'll say, like, come. Normally he'll come. But he'll just, like, lay down and stare at you.
Little shit.
Yeah, that's exactly my reaction.
Well, it's not going to stay this sweet forever, apart from it is, because we're never getting out of this lockdown.
I know.
I don't want to bore people with it. They come here to escape. Well, people aren't... I don't know what the rules are anymore. Like, honestly, Boris is like, go outside. Don't go outside. Go to work. Don't go to work.
Really?
Be back at work, but wear a mask, but don't go to work. And I'm just like, you fucking penis.
What's the mask thing? Because you said last time people didn't have to wear masks because the NHS... aren't provided masks,
everyone has to wear masks, like, everywhere. Now,
okay,
in the supermarket, everywhere. You don't have to wear them in the street if you're walking along in the street, and you don't have to wear them in your house or whatever, but or in the car. Like, it's literally just in public places. So I'm obviously not a fucking anti-masker, but, like, I really hate wearing a mask. Yeah. I'd rather just not go to the supermarket.
The only positives of wearing a mask is, one, that you don't have to wear as much makeup.
Very true.
Two, you don't have to talk to people if you don't want to. And that's
very true.
I'm glad about that. And you just don't have to, like, smile at people anymore if you don't want to.
It's true.
Or acknowledge people.
Yeah, and you could be like, people go, oh, I saw you, but you ignored me. That wasn't me.
Yes.
100% wasn't. Yeah, the anonymity it grants you is fairly good.
Yes.
I've become so much less social as well, like, even more so. Right. And I can't tell if it's, like, as I'm getting older or whatever, but, like, in Small Town Murder, he said, like, because I'm absolutely bumming that at the moment, but he said that... If his neighbours want to talk to him, he's just like, no, I don't want to fucking talk to you. And, like, that's what I'm like. I'm like, I don't want to talk to my neighbours. I don't want to talk to someone at the bus stop. I don't want to talk to anyone that I don't have to talk to. And it's gotten worse during lockdown. I'm ignoring calls. Yeah. Like, I just don't, nothing. I just don't want to talk to anyone.
I know. Same. I can be quite awkward sometimes. And so now I feel like blame it on that, where it's like, I'm one of those health people who's just paranoid about whatever.
The thing is, like, I know you are awkward, but, like, a little bit, and I see it and that makes me laugh, but, like, you're not awkward with me, so, like, the thought of you just standing there being like a little awkward penguin, it's really funny. makes me feel special for being your friend though.
Yeah. But you can really just blame your weirdness on like that. Like, oh, I don't want to touch people, so
everyone's weird now because COVID.
Exactly.
I mean, there's positives to come out of every situation, and we're finding ours.
Okay. Let's talk about my murder.
Yes. I'm excited. Yes.
Okay. That was a nice little lull.
Well, I was about to mention my hair, but then I thought that's really self-obsessed.
No, do it.
No, but what I was going to say was, obviously, you know, when you go through a breakup and then you're like, I'm going to get something pierced, or like, after one breakup, I got my nose pierced because the boyfriend never wanted me to do it. And then after this breakup, my boyfriend, well, actually nearly everyone I know was like, don't cut your hair short. Your hair's really nice. And I was like, I fucking hate my long hair. It's really annoying. I get really hot and sweaty. It's knotty. I don't do anything with it. I just throw it up. So I've always had a bit of a thing for Mila Jovovich in Fifth Element. And so I always wanted that short bob that was orange. And now I've just done it.
Yeah, great. And I don't like when people are like, oh, don't cut your hair. It's like, hair grows, so do whatever you want with your hair. Experiment. Like, a lot of women are like, oh, I could never cut my hair short. It's like, just try it. It's again, not like you're going to die.
Again, the reason you're not doing it is because you think it makes you less attractive to men, which is not a fucking reason to do it. Because, like, me and Carly always say this, like, I look at the absolute mutants I see that are married, and I'm just like, how you look has no fucking sway on if someone loves you. There is proof the world over that is not the case. So like, it doesn't fucking matter what you look like. You could have rats biting chunks out of your head and there'll be someone that will love you. So don't think that cutting your hair or not cutting your hair is going to make a difference to someone falling in love with you, because it fucking isn't.
Do what you want with how you look. Wear what you want, cut your hair, pierce whatever.
And also,
do what you want.
Someone that loves you for you will love you then. Don't you want that?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I want. I want someone that loves me for me, not my fucking long, useless hair, which I donated to a cancer charity to make a wig out of. It's called like Little Princess, and they make wigs for like little girls with cancer, which is really cute. And they say you have to measure your hair, and it has to be at least 7 to 10 inches. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, I think it's probably that. Measured it, 15 inches.
Whoa.
I cut off 15 inches of hair.
That's like more than a foot.
Yeah.
Wow.
But to be fair, it went from down to like almost the bottom of my back to like the nape of my neck. So it was a lot of hair.
That's a lot of work to take care of every day.
Oh, it really was. I did nothing and I ended up getting like dreadlocks at the back of it. Like, it's so much better this way for everyone involved.
It feels great to have short hair.
It really does. And I'm glad I've done it.
Good. I'm glad you're glad.
Yes. And thank you for listening to my self-indulgent rant. And thank the audience out there every week for listening to our self-indulgent rants.
Thank you, listeners, for not switching off after this far.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay that we're talking this much because your story was short and mine is kind of short too.
Yeah, we need some filler.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't not tell this story because it's just a good story.
Okay.
And I found it when we were driving back to Minnesota in July.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not going to guess though, because it'll ruin it.
Did I tell you about it?
Okay. No, I'm just going to open a can of Jack Daniels, and I'm really sorry.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
What is it?
It's Jack Daniels and Coke, but in a can.
What?
Yeah, I stole it off my stepdad. I was like, can I have some booze, Mum? Is there any more booze in the house? And she was like, And I looked in the fridge, and I knew it was already in there. I did the old fake out, like, is there any more booze anywhere? Oh, there's this in here. Like, I was like, can I have this? And Terry was like, yeah, have it. And I was just like, are you sure? Like, I was going to steal it if you weren't looking.
I didn't know they sold cans of that. Is it just one shot of Jack Daniels?
Well, it's a 5% volume, so yeah, I'm assuming so.
Okay.
It's not Coca-Cola, it's cola. So it's very off-brand.
You can't go wrong with Jack and Coke.
No, it's really nice, actually.
Yeah. When I used to work nights, for some reason, I would crave that. I don't know why.
Because you're so rock and roll. You're like fucking Lemmy.
Obviously, I wouldn't drink it because I'd be at work, but Jack and Coke is what I would just crave. It was so weird.
Is that what you would, that when you were doing the show that was like the 90s and you had to go through loads of clips of like Princess Diana's funeral and like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Bill Cosby? Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Princess Diana's funeral, JonBenet Ramsey, all that bullshit.
Spicy. Yeah. Spice Girls?
No, because that was the music episode. I was doing the TV episode.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I see that show sometimes on Now TV and I'm like, Rachel did that.
Oh, really? It's over there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see my name.
Yeah. Longer. Sorry, I fucking ruined your story again. Go on.
No, it's okay. But anyways, I found this story when we were driving through Wyoming, which is the state of Wyoming is exactly the same as it was 200 years ago.
So like, where is untouched. It exactly? Is it bang in the middle?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is it next to Idaho? I'm going to look up a map. Sure. But anyway, yeah, it's in the middle.
It's below Montana and the Dakotas.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty much like in the middle.
Yeah.
We kind of went up through Colorado and then up through Wyoming and then we stopped in South Dakota.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. I always forget where Idaho is anyway, so.
It just reminds me of The Simpsons where Lisa dresses up as, it's in the gambling episode, which is my favorite episode. And Lisa wants to dress up as Florida for a competition at school where they all have to dress up as states. And Marge gets a gambling problem and then she can't make the costume. So Homer makes the costume and it's just two pieces of foam with an orange stuck to it. And then her face is coming out of the hole and it just says Florida, spelt wrong. And and she goes, I'm not a state, I'm a monster. And then at the competition, it's her and Ralph that win because Principal Skinner says, we're giving the prize tonight to the people who clearly had no help from their parents, Lisa Simpson and Ralph Wiggum. And Ralph has a piece of paper on him that just says Idaho. And he goes, I'm Idaho. So Idaho will forever remind me of Ralph Wiggum.
Of course you are, Ralph. All right. Okay. We've gone so far away from murder.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Okay. Okay, so taking it back to the cowboy days of 1870s Wyoming.
It's almost the same time.
Yeah, it is.
Weird.
So the Cheyenne Deadwood Trail, which stagecoaches and freight wagons traveled between Cheyenne and the Black Hills mining area from 1876 to 1877. Prospectors mined for gold, silver, and copper. This area was not yet a town, but mining camps and hunters and fur trappers made it a well-known area. Wagons delivered salt pork and whiskey to the camps, and soon roadhouses and saloons were established.
That sounds delicious. Salt pork and whiskey. Yes, please.
Yeah. I was reading an account of someone who lived there or traveled through there, and it was just like, every night there was singing and fighting and noise until the early hours, and
it sounds like a sausage fest, I'll be honest.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. Okay. But I'm just painting the scene because there isn't that much, same with yours.
Yeah,
there isn't that much to the actual accounts.
It's because it's in the 1800s, like people weren't fucking writing shit down, no one cared.
They were living life.
Exactly.
They were pre-gaming at their friend's house. They
were
fighting in saloons.
Having dressing drink with salt pork.
Yes. In 1876, a woman by the name of Charlotte Shepherd, although we're not sure if that's her actual first name.
Okay.
She came to this area. She was originally from the swamps of Louisiana, where she and her sons Tom and Bill were part of a cutthroat gang during the Civil War. They basically, when the men would go away to war, they would steal from their homes and stuff.
That's quite clever, really. It is. Why am I always on the side of the murderer?
You're like, oh, that's smart, that's clever.
I might try that.
Also, I was talking to Will about if we were living during these times.
Yeah.
What do you think you would be? Would you have gone, if we were in America, like, would you have gone to the West, or would you have, you know, been a school teacher? Or
I'd have stuck on the East Coast, mate. I'm not going over there. That sounds like a fucking shit heap.
I was thinking, like, because we're women, we wouldn't have really had that much of a choice.
Have you watched Deadwood?
No. I mean, I've seen parts of it, and this is kind of that area.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's so. Not a good place to be a woman. Not unless you've got right. a rich man to look after you and give you opium.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
No thanks.
Or you're some, like, badass like this woman who okay. kind of took charge. So she and her sons, Tom and Bill, were part of a cutthroat gang during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Her sons were eventually caught and hung, but she was able to escape and made it up to the Wyoming Territory, along with a Louisiana swamp gang companion and outlaw, Dangerous Dick Davis, a.k.a. the Terrapin. Do you know what a terrapin is?
Yeah. I love those little guys.
Yeah, I didn't know, and then I looked it up. Basically, for our listeners, a terrapin is a turtle who prefers to be in the swamps.
And they're really small.
So this guy's nickname was the Terrapin. Yeah,
but they're tiny. Small. They're like a coaster.
Yeah. Right.
For reference. Aww. For size reference. Also, my friend yeah. Elliot, he's a really fun, weird guy. And he's got a... He used to have a terrapin. And
aww.
And he used to have a couple of them in a tank. And I was like, can I... like pet them, and he was like, yeah, if you're willing to pet yourself with a needle afterwards, because like apparently they carry all sorts of diseases.
He's like, oh geez.
He was like, I wouldn't touch that if I were you.
Why keep it?
I don't know. They're beautiful to look at. They've got like neon markings, almost.
Oh,
bright red and bright green, almost right, like right. tiger stripes, like on their feet,
yeah,
and on their heads and stuff. So they are really pretty to look at, and they're quite cute, but yeah, you can't fucking touch him.
I feel like if I had a pet turtle, I'd want to touch it sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
That sounds gross.
I just want to poke it because it's mine. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't do that with those. They don't like it. And they're quite bitey.
Oh, okay. So she came up to the Wyoming Territory with Dangerous Dick Davis, a.k.a. the Terrapin.
Great.
Charlotte Shepherd soon settled near Lusk, Wyoming. Lusk wasn't a town yet, but going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she started her own saloon of ill repute.
Yes, please. Whole house.
Out of, yep, out of her home, which was not much more than a dugout.
Mm.
Charlotte's dugout had earned a reputation, as well as Charlotte herself, who had earned the nickname Mother Featherlegs, as she was known to wear red pantalettes that made her legs look like feathered chicken legs.
Cool.
She would often ride her horse, galloping across the prairie with her bright red hair and ruffled pantalettes flowing in the wind. A middle-aged madam was a sight to be seen in that area, and she earned the reputation of being hardworking, loyal, and a rough-around-the-edges entrepreneur.
Good for her.
Yeah, a lot of people liked her.
Although she was selling Fanny, she was a human trafficker.
Right.
At best, but still, well done.
She sounds like a cool lady, though. Just, like, everyone knew who she was. Everyone liked her. She was kind of, you know, told it like it was.
Everyone likes that mum vibe. Everyone needs a mum, yeah. even when they're not around.
But also, you know, somewhat of an entertainer.
Yeah.
Cowboys, bandits, hunters, ranchers, and fur traders would stop by the brothel for drinks, entertainment, and female companionship. And she was popular not just with her clientele, but many of the regular citizens of Lusk.
So she saw men also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, well, good for her.
Yeah. Although Mother Featherlegs had set up the saloon with Dick Davis, when he was around, he didn't do much more than just sit around and be waited on by her. When he wasn't there, he was known to travel with bandits and thieves between Wyoming and Louisiana, looting wagons and travelers along the way. Dick and his cohorts, as well as many other bandits and unsavory men, would come back to Wyoming and hide their money, jewels, and valuables with Featherlegs at the brothel until they could dispose of them themselves.
Featherlegs.
Does this sound familiar to you? Did I tell you about this already?
No.
Okay. I found this, like, when we were on a really long drive and I was tired of looking at the scenery because there was just so much of it.
Tired of looking at Will.
Yeah. I just started looking up facts about the area, and I found this little story as we drove past Lusk, Wyoming.
Yeah.
So they gave her all their valuables and stuff that they stole. She would hide them around her home for safekeeping, telling no one, not even Dick, where she kept them.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1879, 3 years after moving to Lusk and setting up the brothel, Dick Davis came to stay as normal with Mother Featherlegs. While staying there for several months, he watched her every move to see where she kept the loot she was hiding for the many bandits that had come through and entrusted her with their valuables. After discovering her stash, Dangerous Dick met Mother Featherlegs at a spring where she was filling up a bucket of water. He shot her and left her body there, stealing $1,500 worth of valuables and skipped town back to Louisiana.
Wow.
Poor Mother Featherlegs.
Your life's not worth more than a chunk of gold in the Wild West.
Yeah. Mother Featherlegs' body lay at the spring for several days until Mrs. O.J. Demon, a wife of a rancher and friend of Featherlegs, was heading to visit her and came across her body. Moccasin tracks similar to those worn by Dangerous Dicks were found surrounding the body. Featherlegs was buried there on the spot where she was found, leaving no marking or grave to indicate her identity.
I would not bury a body next to a spring. You're gonna, like, fuck up the fucking water supply.
I'm sure they knew that. I'm sure it was nearish it.
I'm like, look, I'm sorry to be a killjoy, and I know she was a great lady, but can we not fuck up the only water supply we have?
Yeah. So basically, they just kind of buried her and didn't say anything, and nobody did anything.
Well, how strange.
Yeah. Several years later, Dangerous Dick was caught in Louisiana, where he confessed to the murder. He was hung for his crimes of robbery and murder.
Wow.
In 1893, 14 years after the death of Mother Featherlegs, two teen boys were camping in the area and set out to find her grave and confirm the stories of the legendary madam and if the murder was true. I think she was just buried and they just didn't talk about it, and then it just became like this myth.
Why? Was it just like, to be honest, I'm not going to leave a corpse here to rot and be picked by vultures, but I don't want to get involved? Like, was that the vibe?
I think it was, and I think because she was involved in unsavory things, then they didn't want to make a big deal about it.
Yeah, some people were quite Puritan.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's what the West was. It was either like really unsavory characters, or it was these like
super Puritan.
Right.
Mate, again, watch Deadwood. Fucking amazing. Yep. It's like there's a brothel there. There's also a priest, and there's also like they have some of them are really some of them are really religious, and then others will just go get drunk for 5 days and fuck people and shoot at each other. And yeah, it's a real like dichotomy of like filth and goodness. Great show.
Well, yeah, it's on the Cheyenne Deadwood Trail, this area. Mm-hmm. So that's based on Deadwood. The show is, I'm sure, based on some of these stories.
Defo.
So the two teen boys were camping and they set out to find her grave. According to their account, they began searching at night and in the moonlight found the grave, where upon opening the simple pine coffin, found her mostly still intact with clearly recognizable bright red hair.
Wow.
So that just kind of proved that it was her.
That's so cool. They made her a coffin.
Yeah. At least they did that.
Yeah. Geez. Well done.
So, 71 years after this incident, that same teen boy, Russell Thorpe Jr., confirmed again the spot where Mother Featherlegs was buried.
How fucking old is this guy?
Well, he was a teenager, and I worked it out. He was a teenager in 1893, and then it was 71 years later, so he must have been in his 80s.
Yeah.
Like, late 80s.
Wow.
So, in conjunction with a reenactment of the Cheyenne Deadwood stage run, on May 17th, 1964, a 3,500-pound granite stone monument was unveiled over the grave of Mother Featherlegs.
Yay.
And was built with donations from the citizens of Lusk, Wyoming, with half of the cost being donated in cash by the last brothel madam in the area.
Yes! Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah. It is known to be the only monument dedicated to a sex worker in the United States.
Oh, God. Can we visit? Let's do another road trip.
There's nothing around.
Are you like, I'm not doing that again.
On its inscription, it says, "Here lies Mother Featherlegs, so called as in her ruffled pantalettes, she looked like a feather-legged chicken in a high wind.
Fun.
She was a roadhouse ma'am here on the Cheyenne Black Hills stage line. An outlaw Confederate, she was murdered by Dangerous Dick Davis the Terrapin in 1879.
Wow. That's so fun. I really want to find the picture of the monument.
Okay, so I got a lot of this information from motherfeatherlegs.com, which is a really great, simple website, like super simple. And you can see a photo of the monument on that site if you want to. If you want to go see it in person, you can find the old Cheyenne Deadwood dirt trail, and eventually you'll stumble upon the monument about 10 miles outside of Lusk. Or you can go into Lusk and visit the Stagecoach Museum, where the pantalettes of Old Mother Featherlegs are on display.
No!
And that is the story of Mother Featherlegs.
Oh, I loved it. Let's get our first piece of merch, Featherleg Pantaloons.
Those will be flying off the shelf, Delissa.
Well, I'll fucking wear some. Tell you that for free. God.
Bright red.
Oh, she has got to be style inspo. I just imagine her to look like Vivienne Westwood, but like young and sexy. Like when Vivienne Westwood was young and sexy.
Yeah, that's a good descriptor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She probably did look like that. Yeah. I kind of imagined her a little bit more hefty.
Yeah, sturdy.
Because I feel like you'd have to be, yeah, like if you were in a cutthroat gang, you had to be a little bit more.
Yeah, but I mean, she obviously had no trouble getting male companions.
That's true.
Yeah, loved it. That's very, very cool. You've got some really, you've had some great, like, feminist icons, like Diana the Huntress. I guess so.
Yeah.
Featherleg lady.
Featherlegs.
Yeah. So cool.
Also, I looked up, I was like, I wonder if there are other monuments dedicated to sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't that many, actually.
That doesn't surprise me, Rach.
I mean, yeah. But there's one in Amsterdam, of course, in the red light district.
Well, I wish I'd known that because I very recently went there.
Oh, yeah. You might have passed it. Like, it's just a woman standing in a doorway. That's what the statue is. But then I was reading the article about it, and it was like, this is the only monument to a sex worker in the world. And I was like,
don't lie.
No, it's not. I just found Old Mother Featherlegs.
No, you fucking liar.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like that to be the case, Amsterdam Tourist Board?
Right. I will go to that monument if you want to, Talissa.
No.
It is a beautiful area of the country.
No, I'm sure there's much better things we could do. Next year, my stepdad is talking about coming out in April for his 60th to go to Hawaii.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's like obsessed with Elvis. And like Hawaii is, I think, the last uncharted Elvis land that he has left in America.
Oh. He's got like an Elvis map.
Yeah.
And he's like marked every part except that.
It's the only place Elvis's feet have touched that his hasn't. So he's like, get me there. Yeah. So I am really thinking of coming out next April. Whether I have to beg, steal or borrow to get the cash for the flight, I'm fucking coming at you if I can.
Do it. We'll have some special episodes.
Yeah.
Right. Two.
Fucking Ruth, bless her cotton socks, was like, she was like, next year you and Rachel should do a live show. I was like, Ruth, we are not that popular. And she was like, yes, you are. I was like, Ruth, you're like my mum.
Aww. Yeah. Thanks, Ruth.
I know. How sweet is that? That she, like, thinks that we can do. I mean, we might be, I don't know, I'm not gonna like piss on our chips, like we could do that.
I think this is my idea. I think that we should do a murder pub quiz, like,
yeah,
at some point.
I think
that would be really cool.
At an actual pub in LA.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
In LA, or if I came to Bristol, I feel like it would go down more well. No, we could
My
pull
favorite
it off
murder
in LA.
Is super popular. I mean, I don't think the pub is the pub quiz culture alive and well in LA, because it's obviously alive and well in England.
Yeah.
It's bars, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But there are places that do pub quizzes, and I feel like people would be interested.
Mate, I've done pub quizzes in my time, like a Star Wars themed one and Peep Show themed one and stuff. And yeah, people love that shit. Like,
right.
Oh, I wish COVID would just fuck off, because it's really starting to meddle with my plans. Like,
I know. I was going to make 3 films this year, 3 short films, and they all got shut down.
It's fucking annoying. I just heard my dog sneeze from outside the door. Like, what do you want, you little creep? Right, my darling. Aww. I'm going to have to go because I need to go and visit my brother because I'm in Andover and my brother's fiance is pregnant and I've just got like family obligations and da 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 da.
Family.
Da 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 da. I will dream of Mother Featherlegs tonight. Thanks Yay. To you. Let's work on the merch.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks for listening and we'll talk to you next week.
See you next week, peeps. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.